Time now for our big interview. No doubt you would have seen the images on social media, on television, particularly at the Beitbridge border post in the early days of January, as many who live in this country try to return from other countries around the region, from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, from Lesotho, bodies lying next to each other on the concrete, on the ground, as people waited to get through the processing. Some, of course, taking their chances against the raging waters of the Limpopo and those crocodiles. People drowned there trying to get through to South Africa. People drowned trying to cross the Caledon into South Africa. It's a crisis that has been with us for some time. And of course, like with so much else that's not working in our society, COVID has exposed the weaknesses. We're joined by the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, who's going to be talking to us just shortly, but I wanted him to listen to a critic of what has happened with Home Affairs, the Associate Professor at the African Center for Migration and Society, Professor Joe Vieri, who joins us first on the line as the Minister listens in. Prof, good morning to you. I'll start with you because you have written quite forcefully about our strategies for migration control, and a lot of what you are seeing, or we all saw in the early days of this month, didn't come to you as a surprise.
Morning, Bongadi, and morning to your listeners. Yeah, I mean, we are sitting in a very complicated and difficult time, and I don't think anybody would debate that. I think the concern really is about how and why the decisions around the border closures or the management of our border areas, how those decisions and why those decisions are being made in the current context around COVID, but also positioning that within the pre-existing and longer-standing tensions and challenges around border management, around the ways in which our Immigration Act is becoming increasingly restrictive for people on the move,
yeah.
The challenges faced particularly by people in the region who are moving to, in a month like January, every year we see large numbers of people returning to South Africa. That's not new. Of course, this year we have additional challenges with the Zimbabwe lockdown and around COVID.
Prof, I have some sympathy with Minister Motsoaledi. I saw him on television really almost frustrated because one of the things he was saying was that it would appear that officials, say from Zimbabwe, for example, are part of this illegal economy of transporting people illegally and dumping them at the border. They could literally see them on the other side, people dressed in military gear, assisting people to try and get through illegally. With that kind of problem, you can surely appreciate what the minister has to contend with.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I don't think there is any question about the complexities of managing any border area, particularly in the current context, as I say. The big tension, though, is why is it that we see the kinds of challenges people are facing at the moment? Why is it that we haven't managed to learn from the past? We've had plenty of time to prepare for issues around the ways in which we're wanting to manage COVID. And I think we have to acknowledge that this is symptomatic of a range of wider issues. We know that the Messina Bay Bridge border is one of the busiest. We know that those processes that are in place have long created different challenges. And I know that the new policy around the one-stop border is ideally and hopefully going to address some of those processes at the border. But we need to think about why is it that people are often forced into irregular routes. Nobody wants to undertake a dangerous journey, but there are reasons why people decide they need to. If we're looking at issues around corruption and bribes and the ways in which government officials may or may not be involved in assisting people to cross in irregular routes, it's not only on the Zimbabwean side, you know, it's also on the South African side. So it's important that we're not scapegoating others.
Look, I hear you, Prof. I hear you. We've got a clear and present danger at the moment, this crisis. Infectious diseases certainly don't respect man-made borders, but we also know that this government's priority is to make sure that South Africans are kept safe. We saw the kind of congestion at the Beitbridge border post. I mean, is it unreasonable for this government to be concerned that that could have been in itself a super spreader event, and therefore we've got to try and close border posts like that?
I think it's correct to be concerned around the congestion at borders, but I don't believe that shutting borders is the solution. Rather, we need to be better streamlining the ways in which people move, thinking more carefully and cautiously about the requirements that people are needing to undertake and go through in order to cross the border in a regular way. As you say, infectious diseases, no border. And this is not simply about the South African state needing to keep citizens or people living in South Africa safe. This is about South Africa recognizing its role as a nation state within the Southern African region, within the continent, and the role it needs to play in ensuring that our response is one that is also in line with supporting responses in other countries. There is absolutely no public health rationale for focusing only on a response within a single country. We need to recognize that infectious diseases, particularly when we're looking at COVID and the new variant, for example, we need to be removing some of the politics that guide the way our health responses are delivered. Now is the time for really taking on a health security approach, which isn't about just shutting down borders. That is not effective. That is not helpful.
All right. Associate Professor at African Center for Migration and Society, Professor Joe Vieri on the line. Listening to those criticisms and concerns is the Home Affairs Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi.
702. Right of reply.
Minister, good morning to you and thank you for your time today. You've heard the criticisms that have been raised around the current crisis we have seen. The borders have been closed. Some say the horse has bolted. We should have thought about this before we saw those queues at the border. Others will even say that, the current wave we're experiencing has nothing to do with foreigners coming out of South Africa, but rather internal mobility within the country.
Well, thank you very much, Bongani, and good morning, and compliments to you during these very difficult times. Unfortunately, you are asking me too many things at the same time. Perhaps I should take them one by one. The issue on the borders could still get worse, Bongani, and you might know that in 2005, the World Health Organization passed what is called International Health Regulations, IIHR, specifically to make sure that when a disease is prevalent in one area of the globe, it is not allowed to spread to the other areas. That's the first thing I want to say. Diseases must be confined to the areas where they are prevalent and not allow them to spread all over. So you must take precautions to make sure that when we close borders, we are not only stopping people from coming here, we are also discouraging a movement of South Africans to other countries where they'll go and spread the disease, because we have got the highest prevalence of the disease at the moment. So I just want to balance that, is to protect both sides of the border so that diseases don't go all over. The second reason, which we also, Bongani, is the fact that people being there at the border was in itself a super spreader event, because we saw how the army battled to try and keep order and make people do social distancing, which is extremely important, by the way. And I spent 2 days at Beitbridge. We did markings for more than a kilometer in length, markings where people must stay. Must stand when they are queuing. When the army is there, they stand on those marks. When the army turns their back, they just congregate again. They did the very same thing to me. You might be able that it's not only at the borders where we have to take action because of that. Yesterday, I announced the actions we are taking at Home Affairs offices, also because of stopping them as super spreader event. Because where people congregate in large numbers, it has proven to be very, very difficult, if next to impossible, to push for social distancing so that they don't infect each other. So we are taking all those precautions. The problem, as I was listening with the professor who was speaking, is that they always take a view, according to me, when I analyze them,
yeah,
a view that somehow is a God-given right for every other country on the continent to create problems. And it's the obligation on South Africa to be the only one that solves them or absorbs them. That seems to be their overall view, that anybody else has got the right to create problems, and South Africa must have the capacity, the will, and the plan to deal with them, regardless of what is being thrown at them. I mean, take the situation in Zimbabwe. The economy, it's clear that the economy in Zimbabwe has collapsed. And the people who are coming here, Bongani, are not only people who are returning to South Africa for their jobs. The majority were new people. And to emphasize that, we have got figures of the number of people who left in December last year, crossing Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
And that figure shows that it is only 27% of the figure which left in the previous year, meaning in the people who left in December 2019 to cross the Limpopo River were 27% of the people, I mean, to cross the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
Were 27% of the people who did so in 2019. So what am I trying to say? So when they came back, I mean, when the multitude you saw there,
yeah,
it's new people who are coming in running away from economic downturn in Zimbabwe. Now, what the professor was saying is that whenever that happens, South Africa must always have a means and a way with us to resolve that. People have forgotten that our economy is also in doldrums. We can't sit here and prepare and try to pretend,
sure,
that South Africa is living in some heavens and it has got everything. Every other person create the problem in South Africa must just have a way to deal with it. I don't understand why they come up with such a dream.
But Minister, we've seen efforts to try and deal with the migration problem. Our whole regional economy, if you like, is based around the idea of laborers who are migrants, who come in and out of this country. It has been that way for decades. We've seen efforts, for example, like that border fence. We spent, almost 40 million rand, and people get through it anyway. Others, as I said in my introduction, will take their chances trying to cross dangerous rivers. We may beef up security at the borders. They'll find other ways to come into the country.
The issue of economic migration is there. If you look at the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugee, when they call conferences about migration, they talk about economies of countries, that any migration must be of benefit to the countries in the form of building their economies. It can't be migration just for purpose of migration. It must be migration that builds economies and makes people's lives better. Now, in so doing, migration must happen orderly, and it's called orderly migration, which means you ought to enter that country officially, be documented, and obey all the rules of that country, because every country has got a sovereign state with a constitution and rules. They need to be obeyed. Once you start crossing illegally, then that's something else. It's illegality, and illegal migration is something that is never can never be justified or can never be promoted anywhere in the world. Even if you may understand why people do it, but it still remains illegal, it still remains unjustifiable, it still remains undesirable all over the world. And every country will have a right to keep its sovereignty, the sovereignty of its borders. Because once you are breached, why do you sit in parliament and make laws which can be breached at any one time?
Minister, of course, one of the things you announced yesterday was the limitation of services at home affairs offices. We know, of course, almost no citizen can function without identity documents, the registration of births, and so on. And yet COVID-19 and its realities mean that several offices across the country have been affected. That means that the staff complement that is available is going to be limited for all of us who need these services desperately. What do you want to say?
Yeah, as I said yesterday, I even apologize and say this is very unfortunate. But the services we are speaking about, people can't function without identity. They can't function. Yes, you are right, Bongani, but we are also aware that they can't function when they are dead, unfortunately. And I've just informed you that according to our inspection, Home Affairs offices were becoming a super spreader event. You might remember that sometimes in December, when we saw this problem building up, we dispatched all the senior people at head office, including the minister and deputy minister. All of us, we chose the biggest office in the country to see if we can normalize the situation, make sure that people get their identification as is necessary, of course, as we have already said, in order to be able to survive, but at the same time, to obey the protocols of masking, of sanitizing, and social distancing. We have won only two, the issue of masking, and I'm sure you are aware, even the president congratulated the population that the issue of mask has dramatically improved. And of course, sanitizing is happening because it's done at the doors. But the issue of social distancing is something that we dismally are unable to control. So after December, when we went out, we thought the situation will increase. But our statistics is talking something else. I released information that in the first 10 days of this year, you know, we have already registered 116 infections of our staff who are in the front offices. We've already lost 7 members. And from the beginning of the pandemic, out of the 412 front offices of Home Affairs, we have already closed them. We have already closed 266. And every time you close, people get angry, they get agitated, they get very frustrated. Now, we have to do something. And we thought the only thing we can do is to change the manner in which we do service delivery. Number one, you stop services that are not really, that can be temporarily halted. Because one of the issues that is emerging is to issue death certificates. The funeral parlors and families have already complained. I actually heard one of them over the radio saying, this government is funny. They instruct us to bury within 3 days. But when you go to Home Affairs, you struggle for more than that period just to get the death certificate. Yeah. And now that needs to be resolved. So we decided that, okay, in order to give our child chance to issue death certificate, let's suspend some of the field services. It will only be temporary. We once did so at the beginning of the pandemic, you may remember.
Minister, unfortunately, we've run out of time. There's so much to talk about. We'll keep an eye on developments in your department. We thank you for joining us this time. That's Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, the Minister of Home Affairs.